Infowars.com is tomorrow's news today.
We're enjoying ringing in the morning with you. We hope you're enjoying it as well. Rex Jones, Tim Tompkins here on the Gray Area. We've got a lot of great news to get back to you with. We've also got Gary Cardone coming on in the third hour. Tim, take it away.
Yeah, so we're talking a lot about Trump. We're talking a lot about the Iran side of things and the retaliation. But I want to bring this conversation to what the impact is across the world, because it's getting really serious and it's getting real. Okay.
Sure.
And when I look at it, we got to look at the bigger picture of the oil and the shock, because the shock
motion trend.
Yeah, because right now what we saw is we saw the spark or the flash of the nuke, but we didn't actually see or feel the aftershock.
And the aftershock wave hasn't even hit us yet.
It hasn't even hit us yet. Right. So I want to play number one, which kind of shows how slow the tankers travel that actually deliver the oil, because I had no clue about this.
Sure.
Let's get into it. Let's play that, because this is going to put this into perspective for you guys.
This is a map of global oil flows put together by JP Morgan. Don't worry about all this text. We'll explain it in a minute. These red lines show the oil coming out of the Middle East, going out to the rest of the world. This is the stuff that's been cut off. Here it is back in December before the war. There it goes. The oil is flowing. But remember, it moves at the speed of a bunch of bicycles. So now it's January, and the oil is just finally reaching parts of Asia and Europe. And we're into February before it hits the U.S., and then it hits refineries in South Korea that then sends it on down these pink lines to Australia and New Zealand. So when the war starts and the oil stops flowing, there's actually still a ton out there, taking its long, lazy little bike ride around the globe. That's a big part of why things seem weirdly normal. For most countries, the oil shutdown has not reached us yet. We're still getting shipments that were sent out before the war started. So when do those shipments stop? If you look at that map again, it says most deliveries to the U.S. will stop around April 15th. In Europe, they stop around April 10th. Asia, April 1st, so it's just getting started. But here, in parts of Africa, it's March 20th. We're already well into it. And to be clear, these places aren't out of oil. Every country has emergency stockpiles. So let's see what that looks like. Gas lines are the first thing to show up. Not enough fuel at the pump. And these are already everywhere. South Africa, Pakistan, Vietnam, a bunch of places. In Laos, they ordered schools closed for one day a week so there'd be fewer people on the roads. The Philippines and Ethiopia did the same thing for government offices. And Sri Lanka is making everybody take every Wednesday off of work now. There are also restaurant curfews, mass flight cancellations, air conditioning shutoffs. It's not that these countries are running out of oil. I mean, they are, but that's not the real issue exactly.
What do you think about this?
Sounds a lot like COVID to me. You know how we're leaving all that behind, then we hear, oh, 2 weeks to stop the spread. It sounds like 2 weeks for us to fix the oil market, you know, and it's been a lot longer than 2 weeks. And that's the thing. I'm just thinking about this. We got to do a full deep dive on it, because it really is a crazy topic. How many ships are there in a full, like, rotation, you know, like making the trip, going back, doing whatever?
I have no idea.
And what's the time it takes for each one of those ships to complete a rotation? I wrote that down. We got to do it.
Yeah, we'll definitely cover that. But if you catch what he said at the beginning, these oil tankers are not like speedboats. They're moving at the speed of a bicycle, like no more than like 15, 20
super
miles.
Tanker.
Super. So, I mean, you're talking about months. And so he's right. Like, we just haven't felt the impact, and people aren't hitting panic because there's still oil that's still traveling.
Sure.
So when I look at this whole thing, Rex, I'm thinking, okay, we need to get out of our ignorance in the bubble and realize that, you know, just because we're a little comfortable here at home,
yes,
does not mean that the rest of the world is not suffering. And here's the thing. Everyone got behind the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency and let us be
safe.
At top because it was safe, right?
Yes.
But they didn't expect for everything in their country to be dictated by an outside circumstance. So just let's take a hypothetical. Imagine if the roles were reversed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly people said, oh, you're going to have extremely long gas lines here in America.
Right.
You're going to have schools shutting down. You're not going to be able to fly to see your family this week because the jets don't have enough fuel. What do you think happens to the average person and what they're going to say?
Oh, it's just absolutely going to obliterate people, and it's already obliterating people. Let me tell you, I got a flat tire on my Toyota Tacoma, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to get it fixed today. I'm going to get it towed, do whatever. And I'm driving my granddad's F-150 around. I can't afford to drive the F-150. I can't afford to go to the gas station and fill it up. Are you crazy? It's like $130 to fill it up. Okay. And filling up my Tacoma now is like $60 to $70.
Yes.
That's the thing that matters to the people at home. It doesn't matter to the people at home that we're on some sort of religious crusade. It matters that they need to be able to afford to live.
Yes. And here's the thing. The things that you're seeing here are only like 10% of the feelings that a lot of these other countries who were already struggling prior to this conflict have to deal with.
Right.
So now they already had struggling economies. Like Europe is already, they have negative GDPs. I mean, Greece, how many times did the IMF have to bail out Greece?
That's a good statistic. I don't know. Probably multiple.
Multiple times, right?
Let's think about India. For a second, because India is really getting schlacked by this. They were kind of getting over on the Russians. They're buying the cheap oil to get around sanctions. They're paying like $54 a barrel. And then the other oil they're getting from the Strait of Hormuz, that goes away and they have to start buying it at a premium from Russia at over $100 a barrel.
Well, and here's the thing. Russia, why wouldn't they do that? I mean, right. They've been sanctioned for a very long time. And they're like, we want our money
back.
And
it's also kind of revenge.
It is revenge.
The Indians had made a good deal beforehand.
It is revenge. Yeah. But even though we have the Iranian oil and we have the Russian oil and you have oil reserves that are being released to the rest of the world, that only delays it.
Right.
Those aren't permanent fixes. And so this shockwave is going to happen in this next
video. No. I know you got another video.
Go ahead.
Tim is such a liberal and he's racist as well because he doesn't know we have the strategic oil reserve. All we got to do is let go of all our strategic reserves and we'll be okay. That's what Trump says.
Even if you let your reserves go, doesn't mean that you can actually keep.
It's not a magic fix.
It is literally putting a Band-Aid over a bullet wound.
Absolutely.
Okay. So now we look at clip two and we're going to start seeing these real impacts. Let's go ahead and roll clip two because it's going to show you all of the things that you need to be concerned about.
The economic shocks caused by this war will be with us for months.
How we emerge from this crisis will define us for a generation.
Let me give you a few specifics that are already starting to manifest. Airlines say they cannot afford to operate and are shutting down many of their flights, so it'll be harder to explore the world. European governments are telling their citizens not to travel for vacation this summer. There's just not enough fuel for it. A number of factories are already closing worldwide, especially in Asia. Semiconductor factories in particular are closing, both for lack of power and because semiconductors use helium, which is a byproduct of natural gas production, so is also going away. Importers expect it to become prohibitively expensive to ship some things abroad, so we'll have fewer foreign goods, less off-season produce, and we'll export less too, so fewer jobs. Construction supplies, like lumber, are getting too expensive to harvest or import, which means fewer homes getting built, which means existing homes getting more expensive and harder to afford. Many of the essential components to fertilizer also come through the Persian Gulf, things like phosphorus. There are already fertilizer shortages in Asia, so yeah, there will also be less food in the world. All of these things also contribute to inflation. Prices go up, harder to afford things, our standard of living goes down. And the thing is, even if the war ends today, this process, this demand destruction, is actually going to continue. That's because American, Israeli, and Iranian missiles have left much of the region's energy infrastructure in ruins. Things like refineries, gas terminals, that will take years to rebuild, which means years before that oil and gas comes back online. This winter is probably going to bring the first big wave of hardship. Right now, spring and summer is a time of year when countries are usually stockpiling oil and gas so that they can get their people through the cold months. But instead, those countries are burning their stockpiles down to zero. That means December and January are likely to bring a whole new oil shock when a billion people across Europe, Asia, and North America go to turn on their winter stoves or heaters and find that there is not enough gas to go around.
That's right.
Do you see? Like we're doing these tactical decisions, knee-jerk reactions, and again, look at the months, the weeks, the years that pass by in which you have no clue We have no clue what the implications are going to be like.
And well, we do have a clue as to what the implications are going to be like. You know what happens during cold weather? Cold weather tends to kill 10 times as many people as hot weather does, right? Mm-hmm. So the real danger, of course, is the winter and the energy supply, especially for these European countries, places like Germany, places like the UK, where you can barely afford, if at all, to heat your home when it's like sub-zero temperature.
No, excellent point. And, you know, I look at it. And I'm like, this is insane. You know, we look at how in the United States, oh, we've got enough oil here, Rex.
Right, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. It doesn't matter, right? Mm-hmm. But if you just look at the average person now, destroying the infrastructure alone.
Right.
Makes this a different equation than all the other shocks that we've ever had throughout history.
It makes it an energy war.
Yes.
And it means that they have a win condition. This is what I often talk about. It's not something where, like, in Afghanistan, it's a bunch of people hiding in a cave that have a rocket launcher, you try to kill them all or whatever. That's not the situation we have at hand. We're fighting a real military that is hell-bent on achieving their one objective, which is to keep the Strait closed. Mm-hmm. Like, period. And it doesn't really matter how many of them you kill ultimately, because there's a million of them and they all got the same goal.
Right. I also want to give people a scenario, because some people think, oh, it's just 20%. It doesn't matter.
Right.
I'm going to give you a scenario. We're going to look at five buckets here. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Okay. One bucket is gone. Now we only have four buckets.
Right.
Typically with energy and with oil consumption, people are bidding. So if an entire bucket is gone, that means there are more people bidding on less supplies.
Price of everything goes up and massively.
It's the price of everything going up, but then you also have speculative futures spending, in which they proactively price in oil and what the supply will be at specific points. Ooh. So the entire equation is all messed up right now.
So you're telling me, Tim, that this is like a musical chairs type of market, right? This is a musical chairs type of market. We're like, oh, we're going to pull this chair away. Like, you can bet on which one we're going to do, though. That sounds like that's
And somebody is making a lot of money. And do you trust these corporations, the ones that are actually controlling the oil prices as well as supply,
to do the right thing?
Do you think they're going to do the right thing?
Well, of course. I mean, they care about people, right? Corporations are people, too. I think that would be their argument. That would be the argument they'd use.
And there's zero chance that they take the fall for any costs that come from this war. They're going to say, we're going to subsidize this somehow, and it's going to come straight out of your pocket.
100%. I want to go ahead and get into this story. ICE arrests niece, grandniece of slain notorious Iranian General Soleimani in Los Angeles. Afshar, 47, entered the U.S. in 2015 on a tourist visa, was granted asylum in 2019, and secured a green card in 2021 from the Biden administration. She's made at least four trips back to Iran since receiving her green card, the Department of Homeland Security said. I think she can stay. What do you think about it? What do you think? I think she can stay here.
I think she's
with
good.
Me in my house. It'll all be okay.
Where is she being deported from?
She's being deported from California.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow. Her online persona was at odds with the Shia Islam, and then there she is on the bed and whatever. But it's going to be okay. We're just going to come over to Rex's house. We're going to weather the storm together. We're going to be all right. Just want to let you know, but this is the type of thing that they're trying to do as like a gotcha. Like Rubio came out and made a statement about this, actually. I don't think we have that queued up. Busted in the land of Satan, ICE nabs Iran's big kin living in L.A. And I think the Iranians are saying that she's not the niece. I'm pretty sure she is the niece. So this is just a very interesting story.
You know that propaganda goes back and forth. She probably is. You think she's happy to go back home?
Probably not.
She's not dressing like that.
No.
Well, no shot. She's dressing like that.
Let me see what the DHS said. It is a privilege to be granted a green card to live in the United States of America. If we have reason to believe a green card holder poses a threat to the U.S., the green card will be revoked, said Lauren, a DHS spokesperson. The 47-year-old was spotted by the Post Saturday outside her two-bedroom Tujunga area abode, hastily stuffing designer handbags from Louis Vuitton and Hermes into her Model 3 Tesla sedan. Hours after her arrest was publicly announced, and I guess there she is at the gun range. She is in the car.
You know what these pictures make me think of? I mean, an Hermes bag is like $20,000, $30,000, $40,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she's living in the United States. Where do you think she's getting the money for all this? She's not working a 9-to-5.
That's a good question. That's a good. That's
so she is part of the family. That means her family's funneling money, and the average Maybe. Iranian is struggling.
Right? I guess so. Definitely to the last part. Absolutely, yes. Rubio says revokes green cards of foreign nationals with ties to Iranian terror regime. Last night, the Nissan went away, but we get the point. Rubio has announced that this is something they're going to do. They're going to get her out of the country. I want to go to this as well. Inmate deaths linked to paper laced with toxic drug in Cook County Jail. When guards at Cook County Correctional Facility found 57-year-old inmate Thomas Dixon dead, slumped out over his cell's toilet in January 2023, investigators were left scratching their heads. They couldn't figure it out. There is no evidence of foul play or a fall that could have killed the prisoner. The only thing out of the norm, tiny strips of singed paper littering around his cell. I said, we need to test this and find out what's going on with it. Cook County Sheriff's Office Chief of Staff Brad Curry recalled about that moment. Eventually, a Virginia lab would confirm that the strips were soaked in a synthetic cannabinoid called Pinocchio, which proved lethal when Diskin smoked the paper. Before authorities could stop it, other inmates were dropping dead under eerily similar circumstances. So this is not a new thing, the use of the designer drugs on the paper, but I want to play this clip that I have. I'm not sure where it is on the rundown here. It's a little error on my part. I want to play clip number 5, Grady Judd drug paper, because this is not a new problem. They've been smoking Raid and Roach Motel in the prisons.
Wow.
Let's watch it.
Interestingly enough, they spray it with a variety of things. And some of the things that is most popular, and they really like this better than the K2, is Raid and Roach Motel. Did you hear me? They're spraying this stuff on paper and then either smoking it or eating it in the county jail. Let me say that again, okay? Because normal people can't understand this. For example, the Roach Motel. This is such a wonderful thing. They'll put the Roach Motel in a plastic bag with paper, seal it up, shake it up, get the chemicals to acting, put it out in the heat so the chemicals react, and shake it. And when the chemicals, who would think to do this? When the chemicals were infused on the paper, then they eat it or smoke it. Are you kidding me? Why don't you, try cottage cheese or something on your paper? Or they spray Raid, $4 a can.
Don't do advertisement.
On the paper. We've received information from sources in the jail that said K2's cool, synthetic amphetamine's cool, but what we really like is the Raid. It'll kill you. It kills the roaches, and criminals not too far away.
Okay, we're good. Okay, it kills the roaches and the criminals aren't too far away. The reason why we cover this is, here's the thing. Your life could be a lot worse, right? Our lives could be a lot worse. We could be getting bombed somewhere, or it could be smoking Roach Motel.
Hey, that K2, I don't want none of that.
Hell no.
None of that.
Hell no,
dude. Give me some of that Raid.
That's right. We want Roach Motel. We want Raid. We'll accept nothing else. That's kind of, maybe Trump is smoking some Roach Motel.
You have to be very bored. Or who even figures out that you could get high off of Raid?
Well, what they are is like they're neurotoxins, and the death of neurons, the excitotoxicity, is actually what dopamine does as well. So it makes you feel good to like destroy your brain. Basically, at a higher level, that's what the explanation is there.
And they probably, do they know they're going to die from taking this?
I don't think they care,
Wow.
Raid is Raid. But
Raid is Raid.
We cover that, and I want to go to one more thing before we close out this segment. Pope Leo, in his first Easter message, Pope Leo warns world is becoming indifferent to violence. Pope Leo warned Sunday that the world is becoming accustomed to violence in his Easter message from the balcony of St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, delivering a rallying cry against war and hatred to the tens of thousands as conflict rages in the Middle East. In his first Ubi et Orbi to the City and the World address or message, the traditional apostolic blessing and message to the world, the American-born Pope called upon humanity to abandon every desire for conflict, domination, and power, and said the world risked becoming indifferent to the deaths of thousands of people, and that hatred and division that conflict. So let those who have weapons lay them down, he said. Let those who have power to unleash wars choose peace. not a peace imposed by force, but through dialogue. We cannot continue to be indifferent, he continued, and we cannot resign ourselves to evil. I'm not a Roman Catholic, but I totally agree with this. This is what we need to see.
This is a win. This is a W. I think everybody can support what the message he's saying, and he's saying this from a Christian back faith. Right?
Sure. Well, it's time for the people that call themselves religious leaders to really unite and condemn all this. And this is why we're so disgusted to see kind of the mega church behavior. I see $1,000 seed.
$1,000 seed. Yeah. Like you could get a blessing that lasts an entire year.
That's right. Just for a small loan of $1,000 to the church. That's not even a loan because you owe the church money.
Don't you see people in these Rolls Royces, these pastors?
Right. Let's get that clip up. Let's get the pastor in the Rolls Royce, because this is what American Christianity has kind of turned into. We got to go back to being traditional. I'll find it in the rundown. My bad. That's going to be Pastor Rolls Royce funny. It doesn't have a number. It's an hour two, segment three. But we talk about this like we're joking, but it's real. Like that Paula White lady, she's walking around doing like Kamehameha.
Ooh, look at this. Hey, that is Cullinan.
Do we got audio for this one?
Cullinans are expensive. That's like a $300,000 to $400,000.
Well, you know, you got to pull up to the congregation. You got to show the congregation what you got going on, what the seeds have germinated and grown into, and they've grown into a Rolls Royce.
Rex, you know, the Lord told me
about
the stars, but he wasn't talking about the stars in the sky. He was talking about the stars in the roof.
Ooh.
I'm talking about the stars in the roof.
Ooh.
That is what Jesus told me. And so you just see these people, and he has the balls to show people a Rolls Royce. That's where your 10% went to.
Right. And it's like you're talking about, like, beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. That's what these people are. They come to you and they're acting like they're there to espouse some sort of positive spirituality, some connection to Jesus. But what it really is the connection to their bank account.
Yes.
It's the connection to their bank account.
That video gives me Vietnam flashbacks. Okay. Because I grew up in a Baptist church.
Okay. Talk about it.
We had a couple of pastors, and not to throw shade at them, but they did this exact same charade.
Right.
Our pastors, I guess they got a brand new Cadillac. It was like a $60,000 Cadillac at the time. Which is super expensive. They just pull it up to the church, and everybody gets out, and they're like, oh, my God. And even myself, I'm like, wow, that's amazing.
You know,
the Lord is doing real work there. And then as I grow up, I'm like, wait, hold on. Why did he need a brand new Cadillac?
Right.
Did it bring any value?
That could have been a program to feed homeless people.
And not just that, the pastor was living literally a mansion on top of the hills.
Yep.
Like their house was overlooking like all of the city.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, hold on. I was in that propaganda.
I have the house on the hill because it was promised to me. it's wild that we live in the country where people like that, it's not just like some segment of society or whatever, they're in the White House.
Well, Jesus told me.
Yep.
I need to have the suede leather seats.
Yep. Jesus told me you don't need no floor package. You need top of the line, heated seats, cooled seats, moving chairs, electric windows, all of it. Praise the Lord. And we're not trying to make light of anything,
we're not degrading the real people.
We're talking about the people that use God's
image.
There
are people who are scamming.
Yeah.
It is happening, and it's happening a lot of these communities. I was in a community where this was happening in real time.
And Jesus doesn't care about Cadillac. Jesus doesn't care you got a zero edge, zero gravity pool. Jesus doesn't care about your McMansion. Jesus cares about the little kids and the children you're supposed to have as a human, and also the children we're all supposed to keep alive around the planet. We're not supposed to bomb them and kill them. Here's the thing. If this guy's running around getting the $1,000 seed, but he's also against the war,
Did you see this video? And maybe we'll play it later. We're coming up on the break, but this lady had her last $1,200.
Oh, no.
And she walks up, gives him the check of $1,200. And he looks at this. He's like, this ain't enough. The Lord told me $2,000. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. No, have that to me by next week.
I don't want to hear anything about reparations. Sounds like they're happening already with this guy. We'll play the clip coming into the next segment. Really appreciate y'all staying with us. We're going to do deep dive in the next hour, and then we're having Gary Cardone on. You don't want to miss it. You want to stay with us. But let me tell you right now, thealexjonesstore.com. If you're not taking Methylene Blue, if you're not taking Shilajit, if you're not taking CMOS, it's the place to get it right now. Huge discounts, huge sales, huge offers. Remember, subscribe and save. Okay, you're going to take it again. Methylene Blue has like an 80% reorder rate. Try it, subscribe, and get it again. Thank you so much. Tim Tompkins, Rex Jones, about to be back with a powerful deep dive.
I have some very exciting news. Optimal Human is hands down the best green superfood, super nutrient concentrate I've ever had. The folks at Bigly have had this out for years, and it's their star product, and it became a bestseller very quickly because people, when they got it, loved it so much. If I told you everything that's in it and how concentrated it is, it would take an hour. This has the kitchen sink and then some in it. If you're missing any of the trace, not just the stuff they say is essential, but all the other trace elements and vitamins and prebiotic and probiotics, it's got everything in it. And again, these are all concentrated, and it's got a bunch of stuff for healthy energy in it too. So folks absolutely love Optimal Human, and it works synergistically with the Shilajit, the IRC Moss, the Ultimate Turmeric, and the Methylene Blue. We've been sold out of this. It came in, and I finally got it a couple days ago, and man, is it awesome. It is a game changer. If you haven't gotten it, you are really missing out at thealexjonesstore.com. And so it never sells out. Be sure to become a subscriber and get special discounts when you do that.